Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And Giselle, I'm sorry, I wanted to thank you for reading our scripture today. That was beautiful as well. Amen. I'd like to read it one more time, if I may. Please bear with me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Amen? My dear friends, I once heard the story about a pastor who is trying to get his people more enthusiastic about their church. And the pastor said in his sermon, "If this church is going to get anywhere, it has to learn to crawl." And all the people said, "Let it crawl, preacher, let it crawl." And then he said, "After it learns to crawl, it has to learn to walk." And all the people said, "Let it walk, preacher, let it walk." Now the pastor's getting really excited, and he said this, "After this church learns to walk, it has to learn to run." And yes, all the people shouted back, "Let it run, preacher, let it run." And then he's going to come to his conclusion, and he says this, "And if this church is going to learn to run, it's got to take money." And all the people said, "Let it crawl, preacher, let it crawl." You know, I think there is a lot of truth in that story. We like the idea of running as a church. We like the idea of making an impact, of being a people of faith. But when we find out that there's a cost that comes with it, we start finding out how much we really do want to run. And I know that there are some people, and thankfully not in this church, not in this church, who may whisper to others and say, "All that church wants is my money." Or they may mutter, "That preacher is money hungry. For goodness sakes, he only works 1 hour a week, and then he's asking me for all my money." Not here. I know that you're not here. And honestly, dear ones, if the truth be told, this really is my first sermon to you dealing with stewardship. Now, I know, yes, we discuss giving when we make our offering appeals, but we also hasten to add how much we thank you for your generosity and your support. As a sidelight, did you know that in the New Testament, Jesus offers more wisdom and has more to say about money than any other subject besides the kingdom of God? The two things Jesus preached about the most was the kingdom of God, number one, and money, number two. Well, as a corollary to this, I want to take a little deviation right now. In January, we're going to offer to our congregation here a course on how to manage your money. It's called Financial Peace. It's a Dave Ramsey course, and Pastor Timmy is going to be sharing it with us on Wednesdays here in our sanctuary. And as we get closer to the date, we're going to give you more information. And I think many of us here can really benefit from such a course. And dear ones, I know you work hard for your money, and you feel that you deserve everything. Everything that you earn, and I understand that. In fact, I was talking to one of our church family members a while back, and we were discussing living on a fixed income now that she's retired. "Fixed income," she said, "Pastor, boy, I would love for my income to be fixed because lately I feel it's been broken." Have you ever felt that way, dear friends? But dear ones, did you ever stop to think who gave you the power to earn money in the first place? God did. What about your health? Most of us have been blessed with health so we can go out and work every day and bring home a paycheck. Is God responsible for that too? Who gave you the intelligence to do your job? God did. The Bible says it is God that gives us strength, knowledge, and ability to earn a living. In Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant." Power to make wealth comes from God. Let me read to you something from Acts of the Apostles, the pen of inspiration, page 75. She says this, "It is God who blesses men with property, and he does this that they may be able to give toward the advancement of his cause. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He causes vegetation to flourish. He gives health and the ability to acquire means. All our blessings come from his bountiful hand. He would have men and women show their gratitude by returning him a portion in tithes and in offerings. And these should flow into the treasury in accordance with his divinely appointed plan." And then she says this, "A tenth of all the increase and liberal offerings. And if there was, there would be an abundance for the advancement of God's work." Amen. Dear friends, you've heard me mention to you before in previous sermons that everything related to our salvation, our sanctification, and eventual glorification is all God's work. All we do is say, "Please, Lord, make me willing to be willing. Give me your Holy Spirit. I want to live according to your will." Likewise, my dear friends, I will submit this to you for your consideration. Everything related to our financial well-being is all God's work too. As the text I just read tells us, it is God who gives us, you and I, the power to make wealth. God has blessed us with everything for a reason. We need to recognize that he ultimately is our provider. But the question does need to be asked, does the church need my money? I know that some in our congregation are just starting out in life. They are struggling to put enough money together just to make ends meet. I know there are some in our congregation who are struggling to send their children to our academy and preschool. I know that. There are some in our congregation who are stretched very thin because you're helping your parents out. And I know of parents who are stretched very thin because they're helping their children out, and in many cases, they're helping out their grandchildren. And my dear friends, whether you are single, trying to make ends meet, or whether you have newborns in the family, or your kids are college-bound or going to our academy, all I can say with equal conviction with you is you don't have enough. I understand that. But I have a thought question for you today. If you don't have enough for yourself and your families, what business do you have giving your hard-earned money to the church? Shouldn't you take care of yourself and your family needs before others? Is that a fair question to ask this morning? It's just a rhetorical question, my dear friends. And this question actually crossed my mind as I were preparing my remarks for you today. In fact, I zeroed in. And I asked myself this question, why do I give? Well, the first thing that just popped into my head, and I'll share this with you, was I want to help carry the burden of our church financially. I want to do that. I know that it costs money to run our church. I receive our treasurer's report every week. Dear ones, I got to tell you right now, we don't get a special rate from PG&E just because we are a tax-exempt organization. We pay the going rate just like everybody else for all of our utilities here in our church. As you know, literature costs money. Salaries for our secretaries, our custodial worker, our Bible workers all cost money. Our school subsidy costs money. All of our outreach programs cost money, just like what's coming up here very soon, our Walk Through Bethlehem outreach program. In December, costs money. Goodness gracious, my dear friends, everything costs money. And so my point is this. I'm not the kind of person that wants to get something for nothing. I want to help pay my way and support my church financially. But really, when you think about that, can I ever repay my church? Oh, I might be able to reimburse the church for my share of expenses, but that doesn't even start to repay what the Lord has done for me through this church. How can I ever repay the church for the kindness and the love you have shown to my wife and I? Or the people who have called me and encouraged me and sent me text messages when I'm discouraged or disappointed? I can never repay back our church for what you've done for me. How can I ever repay back God? He is the great giver. Anything that I try to give back to him is dwarfed by what he's given to me. And it comes to my mind as well, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gives first. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, the second reason that popped into my head why I give is because, well, yeah, I want his blessing. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour so much out a blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. That phrase, that there may be meat in mine house, King James Version, kind of goes along with my first thought, you know. The church's bills have to be paid. But I like the last part of this verse as well. Test me now, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I also like the scripture from Luke chapter 6, 38 that says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, does this verse mean that if I give money to the Lord, he will give back more to me? Is this tithing thing a chance for me to win the lotto, finally? No, I don't mean that. Now, I know nobody in this church has ever or will ever play the lotto. Nobody, right? Where are all the amens? I want to hear the amens. You know, my dear friends, society is deluding us into thinking we cannot be happy unless we're rich. There used to be this TV commercial, and I haven't watched TV for a long, long time, so I'm dating myself. But wasn't there a TV commercial that talked about the prize patrol coming to your house with a $1 million check if you buy these magazines or subscribe to these magazines? How many people bought these subscriptions to magazines in the hope of winning that $1 million prize patrol? But wait a minute, my dear friends. Whoever said that the word blessing means only money? Aren't there a million other ways that God can bless us rather than fattening up our bank accounts? Well, after I thought about the first couple of things that jumped into my mind, I then said to myself, I give because I was taught to give. When I was a boy, my mother and father gave my brother and sister and I allowance for doing chores around the house. And when they gave it to us, they taught us to set aside 10% of it to put in the offering plate. And we did. I have a question for you. Does God own the sheep on 1,000 hills or does he not? Doesn't Psalm 50:10 tell us that everything ultimately belongs to the Lord, even the cattle on 1,000 hills? Doesn't he also give us wealth to test us, to see if we really are faithful stewards of everything that he's entrusted us with? I remember hearing the story about a little boy who didn't want to put his money in the offering plate one Sabbath morning. Well, mom decided to use a little reverse psychology on her young son. And she said, you don't want to keep that money, sweetheart. Quick, drop it into the plate. It's tainted. Horrified, the little boy obeyed and dropped his coins into the plate. A few moments later, he looks over at his mother and says, "Mommy, why was that money tainted? Was it dirty?" "Oh, no, dear," she replied. "It's not really dirty. But just remember, it taint yours and it taint mine. It all belongs to God." My prayer, dear ones, is that when we give to the Lord as an act of worship, and it is a major portion of our worship service, that we give cheerfully and willingly because we love Him supremely. Doesn't the Lord say, or through the apostle in 2 Corinthians 9:7, that the Lord loves a cheerful giver? Sure He does. And I do believe this, that people will support what they believe in. Do you believe in this church and what we are trying to do to further God's kingdom and prepare people for the soon coming of our Lord? As you know, dear ones, none of the tithe that you give, the 10% of your income that I mentioned earlier, stays here in the church. The 10% tithe does not stay in the church. It goes up to our conference, as does the tithe from all of the other 149 churches in our conference. All of that tithe money goes up to the conference to pay all the minister salaries. And by the way, we all make about the same, given the number of years of service we have. And let me tell you, there are no Adventist pastors that I know of that ever got rich preaching. Okay? Just to let you know. In addition to the tithe that helps to pay the minister's salaries, it also pays the administrator's salaries, and it helps pay a portion of our teacher's salaries. That reminds me of another story about a preacher when he had finished giving his sermon, and he was greeting people outside the front door on the way out of the church. A little boy came up to him and said, "Pastor, when I get old enough, I'm going to give you all my money." Overwhelmed with the little boy's generosity, the pastor responded, "Well, that's so kind of you, Timmy, but why would you do that?" Timmy responded, "Well, my daddy said that you were the poorest preacher he ever heard." Not here. Now, whether or not you think a pastor is the poorest you've ever heard, however you define that word poorest, let me again hasten to add that every dollar you give for tithe helps to support all of the pastors in our conference. So in order to do the things we need in this church, our local church, again, to pay all of our utility bills, the salaries, the Bible workers, the custodial help, all that comes from offerings that you give outside of and above the 10% that you give as tithe. So, dear ones, let me get back to my original question. Why do I give? Well, the truth be told, it's really not because I simply want to do my part to help carry the load here in the church, or because I want something from God in return. I don't give just because I was taught to give or because it's my habit. My dear friends, I give because I love God and I love His church. I'm giving to God. I can never outgive God, but I do know this. God will use my gifts and your gifts to further His work here in Bakersfield and around the world. When I give, dear ones, I'm expressing my faith in a loving God who cares about me and cares enough to meet my needs. But most of all, when I give, I am saying, "I love you, Lord. I love you enough to obey you and to trust you, and I love you enough to give." I understand, and I truly believe that everything I have comes from God. And with a heart of gratitude and love, it's easy for me to give back a tenth to Him and another tenth to help His local church. How about you? Amen.